Blog Talk Radio.
What are the issues? What is the real plight? So much hidden, but not just in our fight. So we lay blame in some of our sessions, or do we just learn in this life lesson? Yeah, we all don't bond and share intimidation. So sad to admit, under one nation, our men need the answers and we hold the key. Yeah, we hold our own, what will it come to be? Yeah, the pain of the past, we need to forget. The bitterness deep nurture, and it's kept over and over. Some things seem to relive, yeah, we waiting for change. So what will we give? We share so much, but do we understand? Yeah, to truly to give just what we can. Must we be equal in order to relate? Communication open, understand to compensate. Compassion we feel, we share our goals. Encouragement we give and also switch roles. We talk with real open and also raw, and imparting our gifts, always sharing more and more. Listen up, son, or should I say mister? It's conversations with a sister.
Good Wednesday evening, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Conversations of a Sister. Yes, and I am coming to you live here on Conversations Live. I'm Tracy L. Bell, your host, and I'm back after my two-week hiatus. And I'm kind of fired up because I'm hearing all of the opinions, statements, and conclusions since the acquittal of self-appointed neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman for the murder of young, unarmed African-American teen Trayvon Martin. Now, with race relations already elevated in this country, the conversations are full-blown, especially with the recent admission of juror B-29, who knows George Zimmerman got away with murder. Well, this is what she's saying. But in my opinion, I kind of don't want to hear her, because her admission of this is a day late and a dollar short. Why speak out about it now and after the fact? Nevertheless, then I came back to the many emails I received asking me the question, where is God in the midst of all of this? Yeah, everybody's blaming God. God is being blamed here. When in fact, I'm tired of God being blamed for the devil's madness. God is powerful, but please remember, Satan is too. Satan is the adversary, and he's also powerful. Now, although Satan will only do what God allows him to, we have to remember that he's not omnipotent, meaning all-knowing, nor is he omnipresent, meaning everywhere at the same time. And in case you don't know, Satan is the ruler of this world. Now, I have to back up what I'm saying with Scripture, because, yes, I do believe in the Bible, which is basic instruction before leaving earth, and I have some of my readers who've denounced this and who've denounced God. But in the book of Job, which is in the Old Testament, and for those of you who are not familiar with your Bibles, it is after the book of Esther, right before the book of Psalm. But it is in the Old Testament. But in the book of Job, you'll discover an amazing truth. God limits Satan's freedom. Because Satan starts by talking about how he wandered to and fro throughout the earth looking for whom he can devour. So the book opens up with Satan speaking to God. And Satan told God that Job was not very faithful to him. And he wanted, and he said this because, you know, he's playing a mind game with God. He wanted God to allow him to mess with Job. So God allowed Satan to cause Job a great deal of suffering. And, you know, Satan's bet with God was that Job would curse him. So God gave him permission to test him. He said, okay, you have my permission to test him. Now, you notice God gave Satan permission. So he said to him, behold, all that he has is in your power. Just don't put your hand on him. That means don't take his life. So Satan departed from the presence of God and started messing with Job. What did he do? He killed his cattle. He took everything away. He killed his kids. He did everything to him and then came back to God and said, okay, well, you know what? I need your permission to make him sick. I want to torment him some more. Can I make him sick? And God granted Satan the okay to make Job sick. The bottom line is God kept telling him, you can do whatever you want to do to Job. Just don't touch his life. So each time the devil had to ask God's permission before he could do anything to Job. My point being, so the devil asked God about Trayvon Martin. And then God allowed the devil, who used George Zimmerman, to take his life. Why? Because it's time that God tests the nation's faith and the faith of Trayvon Martin's family. Now, I don't know why his family, because God really has no respect of persons. But I don't know. I can't speak to that. I don't know why test their families, just like I'm sure he's tested a lot of other families with other tragedies. You have the Oscar Grant shooting. You have Hadiya Pendleton in Chicago. There are so many youth killed each day. And this is the work of the enemy. It is not the work of God. Because in the midst of the hurt, the pain, and the tragedy, and even the not guilty verdict, what does Sabrina Fulton do? She calls on God, despite how she feels or what it looks like. She's taking her pain by creating gain. She's turning the negative into a positive because she knows and she recognizes that her faith is being tested. So what is she doing? She's putting forth her effort into the energy of her son, although he's deceased. And she's done this by starting the Trayvon Martin Foundation. So in the midst of her trials and tribulations, God is seeing how great her faith is because trials will always reveal the truth about your faith. Now, back to the Zimmerman acquittal. Zimmerman was acquitted because the prosecution failed, in my opinion, to prove his case on behalf of Trayvon Martin. Yeah, the prosecution failed. That's the bottom line. I'm hearing everything. I mean, I'm getting emails saying that the prosecution only tried him to save face. They only did it because there was an outcry for his arrest. So, therefore, they only did it because they went through the motions. That might be believable because they really did a poor job with proving their case. Reason being, I was shocked that they didn't even call the funeral director to testify how there were no injuries on Trayvon's hands and knuckles, yet Zimmerman claims he shot Trayvon in self-defense. Self-defense of what? That funeral director could have testified telling the jury, just like he told Nancy Grace when he was interviewed, that Trayvon Martin's hands and knuckles had no indication that Trayvon had been in a fight. And he also talked about the gunshot wound. It appeared to be in the upper chest, and he could not really determine the bullet's entry or execution point, or exit point, I'm going to say. The prosecution never provided the photos of Zimmerman's first arrest where he had no injuries. Now, I received many emails from my readers and listeners telling me everything. So what I'm doing is I'm allowing you to voice your opinion on this subject tonight because I want to hear what you have to say. So I'm taking your calls, and I believe that I have a caller on hold now. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there someone else on?
No, nope, there's just you. How are you this evening, and what do you have to add to this tonight?
It is true that when Zimmerman was first arrested, and he was down at headquarters. They should replay that tape. He had no injuries. I remember clearly he had no injuries to the back of his head, and he had no injuries to his face.
Exactly.
And
I think the world saw that. I think the world saw this.
The world saw this, but they won't play that tape. Also, if you are a block captain or a block watch, you are supposed to know who live in your neighborhood,
right?
Okay?
Right.
Because you had a meeting, you know who all the residents are, and the residents know who you are. So there was no reason for him to even carry a gun because he's supposed to already know his residents. And if Trayvon was going through the neighborhood, minding his own business, he could have gladly said, excuse me, sir, are you visiting someone in this area? Excuse me.
Right.
And then, too, why would Trayvon scream for help? Yes, because Trayvon didn't have no gun. But according to the court, Zimmerman is the one that screamed for help. What are you screaming for help for? He had a gun.
Everyone's thinking that he shouldn't have been, that the guilty verdict was like a no-brainer. It's like certain things made sense. After the gunshot, there was no longer a scream for help. So that clearly tells you that it was Trayvon Martin who was in distress. And
right.
You're right. Why would he call for, why would George Zimmerman be calling for help or screaming for help when he was the one with the gun? That made
right.
absolutely no sense.
Right. That cleared the case right there. But to me, the case was doctored up. It was not presented properly, and now those jurors, those six women, should have refused to serve, okay? Because you can demand that you give us six more people. Why was there only six women?
Because one of my readers on my blog, they emailed me and said that being that the defense had no pick in the jury selection, they basically allowed for the defense to do or to pick whatever jurors they wanted. The prosecution, rather, had no say over what jurors would be picked when they could have insisted that it be 12. But I can't believe that they sat idly by and allowed six. They had no hand in it. And I'm wondering, how did the Martins really coerce their lawyer to even communicate with the prosecution? Because I think that there were a lot of things that were just undone. I think the case was presented very weak.
Very
on
weak.
Of Trayvon Martin.
Very weak. Very weak.
Cora, well, I
and
thank you very much.
I'm sorry to say it, but Zimmerman will not have any peace.
Everyone is saying that.
No, he will not have any peace. God is going to reveal everything. And I pray that he continue to give strength to Trayvon's family. Thanks for listening. And
thank you
for allowing me this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Call again.
I will.
Bye-bye. I just would like to add that that caller sounded like my mother. But that's okay. We are taking calls tonight, and we are taking your opinions regarding this case because it has been, you know, widely viewed, widely watched, and everybody's passionate about the not guilty verdict. I believe I have another caller on the air. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
How are you today, Miss Bell?
Okay, how are you? How are you? What do you have
I'm
to
fine.
Add? What do you have to add to this discussion that we're talking about tonight?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say I love your show, Ms. Bell. I was reading your blog recently, and there were a couple people denouncing God because of what was happening with the Trayvon Martin case.
Yes, that is so. Yes, they were denouncing God, and which is why
right.
in the beginning I was trying to explain to people, and I know you probably, if you were listening, how, you know, God is not to blame, but how he allows the devil to use people, so to speak. Because, I feel the same way, that God is being blamed. I think God is getting a bad rap. Just like you had the professor from the religious studies program at some college saying the same thing, that God is to blame. So that's why I addressed it.
Okay, well, I would
go ahead.
Just say.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. I would like to remind your viewing audience that in the beginning, Adam and Eve had the heaven right here on earth, but it was taken away because they were not satisfied with what they had. Since the day Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God promised that there would be hard times. The reason black people still catch hell isn't because God doesn't love us, but because the ancestors of the people that brought us to this country still think of us as slaves and niggas. Even with the black president in office doesn't change the fact that some people still see us as something invaluable. And with a closer relationship with God, we as a people must understand that this world we're living in is fleeting. And we must remember God's words would say, I will never fail you nor forsake you, with your words to live by to help us through these trying times in which we live.
Wow. Wow, Carla, thank you so much. That was very powerful because that
thank
is
you.
True. It did
yes,
begin
it
in the Garden of Eden. Wow, that was real deep. Carla, thank you so much. I believe I have another caller from area code 973. Carla, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. What do you have to add to tonight's topic?
Oh, first and foremost, I would like to say this is a positive outlet for people to vent. You're doing a wonderful job, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Now, I've been listening to people call in and have their expressions, and people want to blame God and so on and so forth. In all bad, there's good, and all good, there's bad. And what I mean by saying that is that we have to wake up as a people. As a nation of black people, we have to wake up. This verdict, being a not guilty, is a sign for us as black people to wake up and start being responsible for our own lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're killing each other off by the numbers in Chicago. So
yeah.
you can't expect the opposite race to respect us when we as a people are not respecting one another.
That's true. That's very true. That's a very powerful dissertation, too, because I heard that Chicago was like another Afghanistan.
Like Iraq. They're dropping more than soldiers.
And I think it's sad that it's like that. I really think it's sad. And I have heard people say the exact same thing, that we have to value ourselves more.
Exactly.
In order to be respected by other races. That's very, very true. Were you shocked, caller, by the not guilty verdict?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I wasn't shocked. The monkey wrench was in from the beginning. They took a long time to arrest arrest George Zimmerman for the murder of Trayvon Martin. And to add to it, George Zimmerman's father is a retired judge.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that's going to happen to a retired judge's son in the judicial system. But, you know, George Zimmerman will never be at peace. So... His karma is chasing him, so there's no need to worry.
I think so too. I think the karma trail is chasing him too. I also saw earlier on Facebook how they were saying that he was stopped in Texas, and when the police officer realized who he was stopped for speeding. He allowed him to continue on his journey. So it's like he's somewhat of a celebrity right now, but his season will come. So I agree with you on that.
Well, those cops that pulled him over must have been white.
Yes, they were, Carla. Yes, they were. They were.
I'm sure they were African American officers. He'll be riddled with bullets, and they'll make up a story that he tried to attack them.
Yeah, I'm sure they will because he is the most wanted man in the United States right now.
Oh yeah, one more thing in closing. I think it's very comical that they released a news story saying that George Zimmerman saved some people from an SUV. I find that to be very comical. I want to paint him as a good individual, but he knows who he is. He knows. He's not sleeping at night, people. Don't worry. He's in the hell that none of us want to be in. Trust me.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? I think that was a PR stunt.
Yeah, it was a PR stunt. But he's in hell. Believe me.
I agree, Carla. Thank you so much for calling in and adding your 2 cents.
Yes, and keep up the good work. We need more positive black sisters like you on the airwaves that's motivating us.
Thank you. Thank
right.
you. That's good to hear. That's so sweet. Thank you so much. All righty then. Now, we've gotten 2 cents so far, but I mean, I think that the callers tonight made very good points about the verdict, about the outcome, about what's happening, because this topic is very, very hot. And right now it seems as if people are, like, looking for Zimmerman. They're wondering where he's going to settle down at. But regardless to all the rhetoric and all the talk, I like how Trayvon's parents have remained dignified throughout this entire process. They have not spoken negatively about Zimmerman or his family or even about what happened. What they're doing is they are remaining focused on God. And a lot of people don't believe that. Some people think that it's useless to believe in God, or, you know, we're hoping for this miracle when it's just not there to exist. But, you know, when I think about all of the emails I received and people asking me, where is God in the midst of this? It's like, wow, you know, what can I tell them? The only thing I can say is I can only speak from experience. And to have a relationship with God or to believe in God is extremely personal. You have to have a personal relationship with God in order to understand the order of things or the order of how he operates. Now, our mind and our thoughts are not like God, because God is higher. He's the Father. He's above all. And he said, my thoughts are not of your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. But believing in him is personal. It's almost like you have to have a personal relationship with him. It's almost like he's had to have brought you through something or brought you out of something, or you believed him for something that came to pass or actually happened. I can't convince anyone to believe in God. I can't convince anyone to believe in a higher power. The only thing I can tell you to do, advise you to do, or implore you to do is to tap into it. Earlier this week, I was watching the movie What's Love Got to Do with It with Tina Turner. And I know it's an age-old movie, not that old, but if you've seen it, Tina was abused by Ike. And throughout her abuse, there was a backup singer that used to sing with them and in the group, and she didn't want to just, you know, denounce Ike's abuse as if it was nothing. So the bottom line is she walked away from the group. But in the end, Tina reached out to her when she was hurt, right after she came out of the hospital. And when she went to her apartment, she heard the woman chanting something. And to make a long story short, if you've seen the movie, you know that, you know, Tina comes inside. Tina, you know, converses with her, and she starts confiding in her. But the woman already knows what Tina's going through because she's been there. She's seen her be abused. So what happens is she starts imploring Tina to pray with her, and Tina starts praying with her. And as Tina prays with her, Tina gains strength. Because a lot of women turn to God, a lot of people, not only women, but they turn to God in the onset of a hurt, when they've been hurt, because they have no one else to turn to, and it's so deep that they need something spiritual to see them through. So that's believing God. I say that to say that that's believing God on a personal level. Now, the end is Tina leaves Ike, as we all know. She retains her name, and she becomes the world's greatest and most sought-after entertainer. And she's recently married, just a couple of weeks ago, the love of her life of 23 years. She's outlived Ike by some 10 to 15 years. So all I'm saying is that she tapped into her belief, and that gave her strength to overcome. And this is what we have to do as a people. Regardless of what your beliefs are, you have to tap into that belief, because you have to believe in something, because if not, you'll fall for anything. I don't think that I could live without believing in God or trusting in God or, you know, depending on God to see me through. And, yes, I was disappointed and I was hurt by the outcome, only because not looking at it from a black and white perspective, but looking at it like, wow, you know, it's common sense that this man stalked this teenage kid, and he did it for his own self reasons, his own, whether he's prejudiced, not prejudiced. First of all, he profiled him, so that says a lot about him. So we all know that he stalked and killed this kid. I mean, the evidence is there. And when it came out that the kid was only 17 years old, his father lived in a complex, this is when Zimmerman really had to come up with the stand your ground. He had to really stand behind the stand your ground, which is why I go back to say the prosecution did not represent Trayvon Martin, because that's the one thing that they should have attacked. The fact that George Zimmerman used stand your ground after he realized the trouble he was in. Only then was he able to stand behind that law. But when he profiled and haunted Trayvon Down that night, he was not thinking of stand around. He was not thinking about that. He saw a young black boy in the complex that he felt like should not have been there, so therefore he was out to stalk him and kill him if necessary. And that's exactly what he did. Why? Because the first time he was arrested, he had absolutely no injuries. Trayvon Martin did not put up a fight with him. I believe he only defended him to get him off of him. But I believe that Zimmerman got the best of him. I don't believe it was the other way around. This was a kid, and he was afraid for his life because this man just followed him. He just chose him to follow him. So these things are common sense. And when it is common sense to hear somebody acquitted, yes, that hurts. That is very hurtful. So I was hurt with regards to that because I feel as though an innocent, young, unarmed man was killed. And for me, this gives Zimmerman the green light to do it again. But I just pray that God puts forth some type of deterrent that it can't be done again or that this doesn't happen again. I would like to thank all of my listeners tonight for tuning in. I even thank my callers for calling in, adding their two cents to the topic. Join me next week again here on Conversations of a Sister as I will address another hot topic that is on my mind and yours. Until then, the conversations are never ending on my blog through my website at www.readywriterproductioncompany.com. Whatsoever things are just, lovely, honest, pure, and true, if there be any virtue and any praise, I need you to think on those things. Until next week, bye-bye.
Know that you got problems, like you're living on borrowed time. You think that you can solve them, you can still get heaven on the line. Hold on, pray hard.